Is it time for recess yet? I'm so glad you found time to join us here on the Child Care Director's Chair, where Erica Sococcio shares her best practices that she's refined through her passion of directing child care centers over the last 23 years. From parenting interaction, systems to save you time, money, and stress, to profitability. She shares it all from the Child Care Director's Chair.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Child Care Director's Chair podcast. I'm your host, Erica Sococcio. And before we start, I want to give out some shout outs to my favorite in the ECE community, to my friends in Punchatool, hope I said that right, Louisiana, Jacksonville, Florida, Land O'Lakes, Wisconsin, and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And of course, our friends from across the way and the Netherlands. So it is really cool to have such a large audience that is, across the globe. So we all love ECE. We all love children. And we're here to talk about childcare today. So today is the third in our series on customer service and customer retention. And we are joined again with Daniel Laurent. I'm going to say it wrong every time. Is that right?
Laurent.
I'm going to say it wrong all five episodes.
Hello, Daniel everyone. Laurent. I'm Daniel Laurent. That's how. So every time you introduce me, I'm going to do this. Laurent. All right.
He is from For Your Review. He is a gentleman who does coaching. I wish you could see him in the studio. He's very funny. But anyway, he helps people with taking care of business at their small business. And today he's here to help you learn a little bit more on why it is important to work with your parents. So today's episode is the power of parent input and how a focus group can help you transform your program. Today's episode will discuss the importance of involving parents in decision-making process for your program. We'll explore how different parent groups and focus groups can help you with feedback and lead to significant improvements and ultimately drive your success. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
We'll try not to laugh.
Laurent. Laurent.
Anyway, so, you know, parent engagement is such an important part of what we do in the ECE field every day. But maybe let's just talk a little bit about why you think it's significant to have parent input into your child care center or early childhood program.
I mean, it's literally the bread and butter. It's your client base. And I think that, you know, parents parent differently. Right. So there's different ideals, there's different expectations, there's different standards, there's different practices. And so it's very, very confusing, I would think, to try to have all those different things in one gumbo pot. Right. That is going to taste good once you eat it. And so but then that relies on you and your because you're bringing people into your world, but you're also servicing them and being of service to them. It's a certain amount of empowerment that I think that it's tricky, but it's not so much if you're intentional about it, in my opinion. So you want to empower them that they are literally why you are there. However, you want to credential yourself as the expert in this field, and that's why they are there for you, right? That's why they came to you. You're the expert, but they are who they're why you're here. So once you can figure that out and have, you know, and it's not like a weird power dynamic. Some people, because we're human beings, we're not robots, can definitely make it a weird thing, right? With the power thing. But I think if it's a submission of service, I think everything, it works beautifully. And it's actually, it turns into beautiful relationships that you both learn from.
Yeah, I agree. So there are a few examples I can just think off the top of my head. So one, being in the field for such a long time, we do a lot of community service events or events where we have parents come into the center. And for the longest time, we had an event called Muffins with Mom or Donuts with Dad. I'm not very political. We don't talk about politics on this show at all whatsoever.
Yeah.
But during a parent advisory group, and you know, we try to be very inclusive.
Yeah.
During a parent advisory group, a parent said, "I think you should rename it. I know it came from a place of love."
Oh, I see.
However, not all kids have moms or dads.
I see.
And then they also thought about just the dynamics of the way we define a family now has changed.
Sure.
You know. But then I had other parents saying, well, I'm a mom and I want to be called a mom and I don't want that stripped from me. So it's a very delicate balance. It's a very delicate balance because you want to respect everyone.
Yeah.
Right. So that's where the focus groups can really kind of help you come up with that commonality of something that feels good for your culture, your brand, and the families that are there in a respectful way. So because that didn't really occur to me. I mean, it occurred to me because we do lots of different things,
yeah.
But it didn't occur to me that the way that we had named it, again, 25 years ago,
yeah.
The way that we had named it could have been something that was a choice for a family.
Before you said that, I didn't think of your area and just how, it's very, very tricky. I think, you're in a different space than a person selling, sure. Hamburgers.
Sure. And I say that all the time.
Yeah.
Andy, all the time. And he's like, that'd be great, but I don't have a hamburger factory, right?
Yeah.
It is a very unique field, the ECE field, and we try to be very respectful. Diversity is a big part of what we do. Inclusion is a big part of what we do.
Yeah.
So be aware of that when you're putting together your focus groups too, making sure you have all different types of key players at the table. So I think that that's really important.
But you also want to always go, I think back to a previous episode, defining what your core values are.
Yeah.
Because everything literally will derive from that. And so I also would like to say, niche is also very important and it's often overlooked because everyone's going for everything.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. It's cool and sometimes it's good to just be niche in the sense of if that's your pickle and that's your secret sauce of, that's the place that does the muffins with moms, right? And it makes people feel warm and fuzzy. Then that's what it is.
Yeah.
To change that to bagels with parents.
Yeah.
You can, right?
Yeah.
But it changes things. And if that change still is with your core value, then it works.
Sure.
But if that change is doing something to hinder the core value, it's like, then.
The decision you have to make ultimately as a business owner. But I do think it's important to just get different perspectives. Mm-hmm. And we are lucky. We do have a lot of diversity, not only with our staff, but with our families. So I have found that that has been really helpful. And then when we were part of Bright Stars, even prior to that, when we had went through national accreditation for our after school program, part of that says you have to have a parent group that meets quarterly to help give feedback.
Really?
So
it's almost like a board for a nonprofit.
It's pretty much that. Yeah. So what I found during that process was not only did it build relationships, but I think there was a new appreciation for the work that we did.
Yeah.
Like when parents came to the table and they really realized, wow, you really are doing so much more than taking care of my kid.
Yeah.
And you are really looking at all of these pieces to make sure that you're providing a high quality program, a safe program for my child. So it was nice in that way too.
It's a twofer.
It is a two for one. And then the other thing I thought was really great was the parents really love our teachers. And so part of that conversation was, what can we do as parents to help support, not only support, but show appreciation to the teachers?
Uh-huh.
And they wanted to do a little something like, could they put together a teacher celebration day that didn't come out of the school's budget? Because again, that comes from building those relationships. That doesn't happen just by accident.
Yeah.
But
so it's magical.
And these were some of the things that happened from our parent focus group. It built stronger bonds between the teaching staff and the program and the parents. It didn't feel like one side versus the other, and they really were on board. And I can remember telling them probably about a year ago saying, they had asked about something that had to do with money. And I said, do you realize that the childcare industry is on the teeter of exploding on itself? And they said, no, tell me more. I said, the overhead of what we're paying right now in terms of what we charge is out of ratio for a lot of programs, right? And parents can't afford to pay more. So
what do you mean? In the sense of like per student capita, that type of...
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, childcare has always been a thin margin for profit.
Yeah.
And now with wages being what it is and utilities being what they are and everything's
going
up and families can't afford more, it's about to collapse on itself, which is where this kind of big funding, you know, from the government talking about how can they help. And that's where the universal pre-K conversation came in. But you need a mix of delivery systems because schools can't just take on all of the early. They barely have enough children, enough teachers to take care of the K and up. But anyway, I don't want to get off topic. So those are some of the benefits that I have found. What do you think are some effective strategies for gathering input from parents or from focus groups in general? What are some strategies to do that?
Do you want me to do focus groups and parents or pick one or the other?
Well, to add whatever you'd like to add to the conversation.
So for parents, right, I think first it's important to know the parents and know their schedules, right? So if a parent only has availability on Tuesdays and you're doing a parent focus group on Friday nights, you know, I think knowing everyone's availability, maybe a majority of your parents want to meet virtually, but you're dead set because it's important to be in person. And then now you have participation by 20%, right? I think all those things are important before even putting it out that this is going to be a real thing. Having a focus group, I guess knowing what you're maybe having your wish list and your goals of what you would like to accomplish, right? I mean, you can go in kind of just, I'm interested to see what comes out of this. But for me, being a person that has done focus groups, like conducted, and I've been a person in focus groups, everything from, you know, granola bars to alcohol to cars to movie trailers, right? They're very specific in the information that they're trying to gather. Yeah. Now, they're not telling you and leading you.
Sure.
They're very specific.
Yeah.
So what do you want to come from this focus group? Do you want to improve whatever, this section? Do you want to improve quality care? Do you want to improve costs? Like, what is your goal? And then you tailor your questions and your, you know, your drive to that thing, right? And you also want to make it, I think confidentiality is super important. A little difficult maybe with the parents because they're the parents, but I think there's still a way of saying, hey guys, just so you know, all information, you know, maybe they don't want you knowing, right?
Yeah.
So the person that's running a focus group almost has to put up this thing and say, she's not going to, you know, this is all, right? And you as the owner, as a person running it, have to be okay with, because we typically want to be involved in all things. And I want to know that, but you have to be like, okay.
Yeah, so there was something that we had did at our school where we created an email that everybody had where they could send in a suggestion, feedback, etc. But you wouldn't know who it came from because the email was this, it was just a blanket email.
Okay.
It was like info@blahblahblah.com. And so when it came in, you didn't know who sent it to you. So it allowed for that
anonymity,
being able to. And I think, too, I wanted to go back to, I don't think you have to pick either and. I think you can do both.
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps you have a teacher who really loves running Zoom meetings. Maybe that person can run the Zoom meeting and you can run the in-person. And then you can gather the 20% here or the 80% here. And then you could do a survey for the other type. But it will, because the more, I feel like the more information you have, the better you're able to go. Because if you just have a small sample and five people think, it's not accurate.
Yeah, it's not
right? Accurate. So the bigger the sample, the more accurate information, and you'll be able to see trends that will happen. If you have 12 out of 15 people say so-and-so is not a great teacher, there's probably truth to that. There's something you need to dig deeper into.
Trends are super important. And I think that that is something that is also not either understood / appreciated / acknowledged. I don't know. But trends are important. And so trends can be when a person walks in a door, you know, the hardware on the door like falls off, right? And I'm thinking like in those terms of like an accident or an incident report, right? But if everyone is walking in the door, this device is falling on them. That's a trend. That's a problem you need to fix.
Yeah.
If someone, you know, did, you know, like Seinfeld, if someone did a Kramer and they bust in the door and the thing falls off, that's a one-off, right?
Yeah.
You don't need to. So putting that with a teacher or staff, you know, if someone came in and they had a bad day and they didn't answer the phone and it went to voicemail, you don't need to restructure your whole phone policy.
Right.
But if people are routinely not answering the phone and everyone's going to voicemail, is there a problem with your service provider? Right. Like, is the volume not loud enough? Like, what does that mean?
Need more phones?
Yeah, that's true. So I think trends are important. I think that we should always look for trends because that gives us a gauge on what can be corrected.
Yeah.
So
I think too, parent input and focus groups lead to improvements in the program quality and effectiveness. Mm-hmm. And so some examples that I have found, as I said, when we went through accreditation, it was particularly for our one location was the playground was like the thing. Like, everybody's like, all these things are great. We need XYZ to happen in the playground. So it was very clear that XYZ needed to happen in the playground. And so then when we went to go ahead and do our budget and figure out the next year's like landscaping and all those kinds of things, we knew right away to where to allocate that money in the budget instead of trying to figure it out. Something else. Yeah. So it can help you not only with the quality, but also figuring out where to allocate. We all have limited budgets. Where to allocate the money that you have for the upcoming year's budget to better be able to meet the needs of the families that you
have. I mean, you are essentially, running your own version of government, right? In the sense of, you know, in order for this program to be funded, the money may have to come from something else.
Yeah.
Right? And then you figure out, like, are you spending a ton of money on paper products that you can maybe go a little greener and maybe utilize technology and virtual? And so that, you know, 3% from that paper budget is now going to, so you're literally, you know, you're doing your thing. So regardless of political parties, you are literally being your own government.
Yeah.
Right.
What are some common challenges that you think programs may face when they're trying to incorporate the parent feedback?
I think one, the immediate thing is just the involvement and participation from the parents. And it's not to say that parents don't care, but I just think that with inflation and just everything,
time is limited.
So if people are working 2-3 jobs, or if they're working one job and it, you know, they're working a 14-hour shift.
Yeah,
it's hard, you know,
to be involved.
And so I think that just the buy-in and how they're able to participate, and maybe if they can send an email, maybe that's...
You're going to make it easy. Even something like SurveyMonkey or something that's just very easy, right? Because at the end of the day, we all kind of distress on our phone, right? We're scrolling through whatever. So making it easy so that they can just answer, you know, the 10 or 15 things that you need.
They can do it while they're having a snack or whatever.
Yeah.
So with SurveyMonkey, please, everyone, again, be very mindful of what you're trying to get, right? Please, nothing is worse for me. I'll speak for me, and you can you can co-sign. Nothing's worse than doing a survey, answering 5 questions, and then you hit next. You answer another 5, you hit next. Answer another 5, you hit next. And then now you're on this for 15 minutes, and you're still not done. It's like, come on, guys. So if you're doing a survey, please, I think 6 questions, I think 8 questions.
Like you said.
Even having something saying almost done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You feel like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Please, guys.
So time. So we'll say some of the common challenges might be time, limited time for parents, accessibility, depending on where you live. It might be hard for parents to get there. Some folks might have one car. There's a lot of things.
Yeah.
And if you're going to do it in person, provide child care.
Yeah.
Have child care.
Meals, like if you're doing it, if you're doing it,
people love food.
It's dinner, right? If you're doing it at 7 o'clock, that's dinner.
Yeah.
So it's a 2-for-1. I don't have to leave here and then, you know, go to
Denny's. The other thing too is when you roll out the feedback, not everybody likes change. So some of your staff are going to blow off the feedback. Some of them are going to make excuses about the feedback. Some of them are going to make comments about, oh, well, she's just saying that because she doesn't like blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know, you really want to train your team as the leader to understand that feedback is an area for growth.
True.
It is an area for growth. So like you said, you kind of go back to your core values, but taking a look and see if there is a trend on something's happening on a regular basis, there's something to it. Let's dig deeper. And maybe it's before we change anything, we get more information. We get more on it.
You can see areas of improvement. But, you know, with that being said, the negative Nellies will be negative Nellies.
Yeah.
right? So you keep them in that little box, right? And they're good at what they're good for and whatever. But I think that overall, the team should be excited about, because it's a reflection of them. And I think overall, regardless of the negative Nellies in the world and Nancy's or Nathan's, right? Because I want to make sure I hit all,
you want to hit
right? So, all the I think that people genuinely want to do a good job. And I think that having that job satisfaction every single day is what actually makes people happy. So if you feel like you helped one family, you feel like you were able to help someone set up their first bank account, you felt like you were able to, you know, get someone off a waiting list that's been on for 3 months, like that makes people feel good, yeah. Right? And so if you're able to do that and you're able to get real feedback, you know, and the one thing that I always mention is the focus groups allows people to reallocate their tools in their toolbox, right? So if you have, I'll just use this small example. If you have a ton of screws in your place, right? And they're all flatheads. They're all flathead screws, but you only have a hammer and a Phillips screwdriver. Like it's not gonna, how's that work?
Get a butter knife. It doesn't.
Fair enough.
You need another tool.
Like,
tool.
That was one of those moments in like a movie where like we're gazing each other's eyes and I love it. Okay.
Okay. So I do like what you're saying though, in terms of I think it empowers parents and mm-hmm. I think it empowers them to feel like they're making a difference in yeah. the program. I also think that it shows that you're in a supportive environment.
Yeah.
That you're open-minded.
Yeah.
And I think that builds trust. When you say, hey, you know, we really do care what you think, and they see that you care and that you're implementing some of the ideas and strategies that they give you, I think it builds a level of trust and relationships. And everybody feels like they're part of a community because, again, it's not a hamburger factory. They're leaving their children there with you yeah. 9 hours a day.
Well, even if you don't, because I know you said implementing, even if you don't implement, mm-hmm. you know, now or ever, right? I think at least letting a person know that they were heard is important. And, you know, we hear you, we are looking into this, right? I think that those things are important. The implementation part of it, which can be difficult for some people, depending on what it is and what level, that's for me, in my opinion, that's like the fudge. That's the cherry on top. But just for someone saying like, hey, I come here every day at 7:00. You guys say you're supposed to be open at 7:00, but like, I'm not able to drop my son off until 7:15. Mm-hmm. And then you saying, oh, I didn't know, thank you. And like looking me in yeah. the eye, taking that information.
Making sure
that's important.
Ready to go.
And not just saying, yeah, I got it. Yeah, have a nice day. Yeah. Right? That lets me know, okay, I was hurt.
And they value your time
yeah.
as well, right?
Exactly.
Because you all have commitment. So, mm-hmm. And I think it just gives a demonstration of your commitment to providing, again, those core values of taking care of your families, taking mm-hmm. care of your community and being, you know, respectful, professional, and meeting the needs when you can.
And you know, I think being mindful of and almost taking it elementary, like ground rules, right? So the focus group, this is something that I learned from being in so many focus groups. Right off, and you say each time, like routine, hey, everyone, we want to respect everyone's opinions. You know, she may be a vegan, she may be, you know, love pork and barbecue and brisket, right? But you lay it out that everyone's opinion matters, and we do not want to step on, because we want the people who, in what I notice in any focus group, they're the people that are giving a million opinions and there's someone that's barely given any. So you want to try to like mm-hmm. empower that one that's not given any to say something. But if the one that's given a million is constantly tearing them apart whenever they say they disagree, mm-hmm. you know, but as a facilitator, I think it's important for you to facilitate, which is tricky, but you know, it's important.
So with that, I think that we've probably given you many reasons to think about and consider having a parent advisory group or a focus group at your child care center. Not only will it help improve communications and relationships, it'll help make your center better. It'll allow you to have better quality. It will also give your staff some way to go in direction as they're working on what parents really want from them on the day-to-day. So with that, I'd like to say it's the small differences that you make in your little business that have a big impact on your success as a childcare owner. So Thank you for tuning in to our episode. And remember, if you want to support our channel, hit the link below. You can help us in a lot of different ways. You can give us a review. You can give us a rating. You could join our membership group, which is less than $5, less than a cup of coffee a month. So thank you for tuning in. As always, have a great day. Bye.
Well, all the cute little kiddos have been picked up and it's time to go home. And that'll do it for another episode of the Child Care Director's Chair. Please leave a review so Erica knows the information is helping you to manage and improve your child care centers. Remember to subscribe to get the latest episode from Erica's Child Care Director's Chair.